Welcome back again. You're listening to Breaks Entertainment live on 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Dave Isaac alongside Joseph J. Erdo, Eric Reiner, Trisha in studio, Greg soon to be here.
And Sonic the Hedgehog.
That's me? You're calling me?
Well, you are wearing blue, so.
Oh, I have been to Sonic before.
Yeah.
I think I've had one of their drinks.
I like their chili corn dog, their chili footlongs.
The chili dogs are good.
You like the footlongs?
Coney Island.
And their footlongs?
Yeah. You like those?
No.
See, once again, no.
No, I like Dodger dogs.
Okay. Well, I don't know if they know much about the footlongs, but perhaps they know something a little bit about Sonic the Hedgehog. We have on professors Lynn Understiller and Ben Reichert from the University of Advancing Technology over in Tempe.
Yeah, cool. Thanks for having us.
By the way, my son goes to your school.
Oh, wow.
What's your son's name?
Taylor Reinert.
Taylor Reinert. Did he studying games or something else?
I think that's what he's doing, yeah.
Okay, cool. You know what year he is?
Eric's taking
He's a freshman.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I usually work with some of the higher level students doing the production of the large game projects that we do at the school.
Okay. Well, tell us a little bit about your background, of course, because we want to cover a few topics today. But first, Lynn, tell us what courses you teach.
The courses that I teach are the game art and animation courses and the studio courses. So I get the privilege of working with the artists and the animators and bringing them up through our system.
Okay. And a little bit further back, of course, I understand you worked for Sony, right?
Yes, I did. A couple of AAA houses in my past. About 15 years of AAA development there. I started with them in 95. When they first launched the PS1.
Oh.
So that was a lot of fun.
Exciting. Okay, and Ben, tell us what courses you teach and also a little bit about your background.
Sure. I teach a lot of the design, production, and entrepreneurship courses around games. So if anybody wants to start a game company, usually I'm talking to them. I teach online, on ground, and also undergrad and graduate class.
Excellent.
And bit of my background, so I'm not games for so long. I have a master's in international relations. I did a lot of public relations work and communication stuff, and so that actually translates really well to working with these teams and students who want to get their game out there and talk about it, as a product, as a service.
Oh, exciting. Okay. Well, either one of you can answer this, but, how does the concept or conception of a game, begin? How does the ball get rolling in the first place?
Lynn, if you don't mind, I'll take this. At our school, for example, we have people pitch, and that's usually a good way to start, by putting together a game concept. And that can be in the form of a very large or short game design document where you've got it all lined out of story and game mechanics. That's kind of what you do in the game. Are you either jumping or shooting or flying? And you put that together, usually pitch it to a group, either investors or a publisher or just a group of friends who are interested in making a game with you. And at the school, we have that process, which students can then pitch games to us as faculty. And we'll bring them into these larger game courses that both Lynn and I teach together, called the UAT Game Studios.
Wow.
And there we give them the full semester, interdisciplinary. We have artists, programmers, designers, because that's kind of what you need to make a game. And we also don't let them forget about, again, the marketing side of things and the monetization side, because, again, who's going to play your game? Why are you making it? And they just kind of have at it. And that process is totally organic. We try to instill good project management and disciplines and give them access to tools and resources, but ultimately it's wherever they want to take it to.
Wow, that's great. And if a high school student is interested in, what high school student isn't interested in games? I mean, because they're everywhere on our phones, we were saying earlier and everything. But say that they're interested in this, what should they do prior to going to the University of Advancing Technology? What can they do to get the ball rolling in their arena?
Well, what I would suggest right away for them is to think about, first and foremost, what part of games are they interested in working on?
Okay.
As Lynn mentioned, she works with a lot of artists. I work with a lot of designers. We've got several professors that work exclusively with programmers. Do they like to code? Do they like to do digital art? Do they like to write stories? Do they like to create, objectives and quests and things like this? And once they've figured that out, to dive a bit deeper into that faculty, but yet still remember that the other ones exist, right? So it is this ecosystem. It's of creating that fully immersive. I mean, games are amazing in just how multi-century they are and multimedia itself, right? How engaging it is. So one thing they could do is pick up one of these free engines, which a lot of them currently exist, and there's increasingly more, something like a Game Maker or Sketch, or even Unity. They want to get ambitious and start diving into these, which are already basically cores of games, game systems that have been created that you can take advantage of and start designing within them and building them into your own game.
Oh, wow. And now, once again, I remind our listeners, we're speaking with professors Lynn Understiller and Ben Reichert with the University of Advancing Technology. Lynn, tell us a little bit about art and animation, that aspect of video games. Is it different than the animation that we see in, say, Pixels films? Pixels.
Absolutely.
I'm not Pixels. Pixar. Sorry. Yes. Have Pixels on the brain.
He's got Pixels on the brain, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, we're still dealing with Pixels, unfortunately.
Yes.
Back in the day, in 77, when I first started building games, the pixels on the screen were very large, and mm-hmm. now the pixels are very small. So in this new film that we're seeing that exploded. So we see Pac-Man on the screen, but even though he's very large on the screen, he's very pixelated looking still. So that brings back memories for me. As artists today, the lines between feature film and games have been quite blurred. So the art that we're seeing, or that we have been seeing in, for example, Pixar films for quite some time, that's coming to life in game engines now because the hardware can keep up with it. My son recently had to rebuild his computer again because he's got games that he wants, that he wanted to run at full capacity. But more and more we're seeing that the hardware can handle the push for the art that we're looking for, and that's hyper-realism for the most part. And so art has really come a long way. The animation as well. Animation was quite heavy in game before, and so we had to reduce that considerably, the size of the animations as well as the quantity. And more now we're looking at motion capture, characters, full blend shapes for expressions. And so I'm very excited because my style that I really enjoy is hyperrealism, and I know that there are many artists out there who also love it.
Wow. Absolutely. And there's so many students out there. And I think just people now, is it just younger people who go to the University of Advancing Technology or say, someone a little bit later in their life might say, hey, I've got an interest in this subject as well?
Oh, we have a wide range. In fact, an alum who did get his degree at UAT many years ago has just recently resurfaced and taking courses again. And that's a unique aspect for UAT, is that when you graduate, you keep coming back at no charge. Really, really beneficial, because in technology, you're always striving for the cutting edge. And so to stay abreast of the latest technologies, you are able to come back and re-educate at will. But he's in his 50s now and retraining again because he wants to come back into the game development world. So I'm excited to see him. We also have a lot of military folks come in, which we find that they're excellent leaders, very well disciplined, so they're a great influence on younger students as well. So a wide range. We're very happy about that.
Excellent. Well, I think that, more and more specialized, education is needed in this forefront, because technology is constantly just moving forward, just at light speed, it seems like. Now, I had heard somewhere that animation, like a Pixar film or whatever, that those are very expensive to make and very labor intensive. And I heard somewhere that they're looking towards video games and the technology that is being used in video games for the animation of the video game characters to try to be able to maybe streamline that process. Is that correct, or was that just hearsay?
I don't find that to be as true, simply because we resort to a lot of visual tricks to get as much as possible in the game engine. We don't have a linear pre-rendered pipeline that is feature film. With feature film, you could pre-render anything, so you can get away with running just high levels of animation, and it really doesn't matter. As long as you can render it, you're fine. In games, however, you really need to streamline your process, optimize your animation as much as possible, even with today's hardware. And so we play a lot of visual tricks to get our characters moving in the game world, because it's not linear. It's full of open worlds and experiences. There's nothing linear about that. So the animation that we're able to load into the level has to be used within that level. We can't add any more to it, and there's a finite amount of that we can do.
Wow. And now I know that, once again, for our listeners, if anyone's just now joining us, we are speaking with Professors Lynn Understiller and Ben Reichert with the University of Advancing Technology. I think that, Lynn, you kind of talked a little bit about the animation aspect and how things have changed. You know, we're still dealing with pixels at the end of the day. But, Ben, tell us a little bit about how the coding or you know, just the designing of these video games has changed from, you know, the 80s when we had arcade games to now, when, you know, lifelike games are just a cell phone away.
Yeah, I can't really speak too much to the coding, but as far as designing, mm-hmm. for example, it's become a lot easier for designers to manipulate the world and the code that the programmers put in to build these games. And again, talking about engines, some of them, like Unreal Engine, for example, just out of the box looks beautiful, and you can start to really put together a AAA looking game, even at a novice level. I mean, of course, you're going to have to learn some tricks along the way, and, you know, and again, Lynn is really great with the students and showing them how to get that going with the art animation side. But with design, you can really start to play around with it, build up levels and build experiences, because ultimately what you want to do is you want to create that engagement, right, for the player. Mm-hmm. And so keeping them in the game, keeping them involved and giving them that agency while they go through it, gets a little bit easier, because you can tweak it a lot more and have a lot more power in the control in the hands of the designer.
Now, we were just talking to one of the original Kings of Kong back in
I'm sure you've heard of Billy Mitchell.
Oh, yes.
And he was talking about how the metamorphosis that games have taken from being something that the whole objective was to make you keep putting money in the machine, so you had to get good or else you'd be broke, versus now with all these home gaming systems and everything like that, it's more of a storyline that evolves and gets you enveloped in that. And has that metamorphosis, because I know you've been involved, Lynn, in this since 1995, right?
Actually, 1979.
oh, that's right. You built it. That's right. Okay.
Yeah, so I believe I know what you're talking about, the metamorphosis between what was going on then and now. Then it was all about the gameplay experience, the repetition of that. And I had so much. I was such a Pac-Man addict back in the day. In fact, that's how I ended up with my first computer, the TI-99. It was something I picked up out of the back of a warehouse. They were liquidating them in 79 for $50. I knew I was going to save a lot of money from the arcade just by investing my $50, because that came with a cartridge. It wasn't Pac-Man, it was a lookalike, but it was satisfying. So, and it also came with a booklet on how to program games in BASIC. So I became a little bit of a programmer back then too, but didn't really get involved professionally until I joined Sony in 95. But during that transition, We have gone from the gameplay aspect back and forth, as a matter of fact, to more of a storyline. And now you'll find designers oftentimes have a feature film experience as well in script writing, and they're bringing their storyline into the gaming experience far more than it used to. And I'm really glad to see that old-style games really, you know, reanimated, so to speak, with the emulators. Mm-hmm. I think everyone is enjoying that. But we're not going to get away from the storyline. It's just too involved. We become too immersed into our games, which we love, with the storylines. And oftentimes, feature films are our inspiration for games. So. Yeah. I believe that's a trend that will continue.
Well, and it amazes me because the storyline changes somewhat based on the player, the individual player, and where they go and which, you know, and just those, all those levels that you know, if you go over here, you're going to go this route and you're going to end up over here. But if you go down over here, you're, you know, the story changes. And I just, it amazes me. And then when you bring in people from, when the games are all connected over the internet and everything like that, it's just amazing. My kids have spent hours on end. I remember them, you know, dragging themselves in at, you know, 6:30 in the morning after an all night, you know, playing with people all over the world. It's just kind of amazing.
Oh yes, there are thousands of outcomes for a level versus the linear storyline of a film, and so that's what makes it absolutely unique. We're a living film, so. Yes. Very interactive.
And Lynn and Ben, do either of you have either of you seen Pixels, or do you plan on seeing it?
I've seen that tonight.
Okay.
I'm very excited about it. I like Adam Sandler films, and I'm sure I'll enjoy this one.
And Ben?
I have not seen it. I've seen the trailers. If I can get a chance. I haven't watched the movie in ages. I have a new daughter, so...
Oh. Okay. Well, we gave it three thumbs up here on Breakthrough Entertainment in our first hour, so I think that you two would, especially with your background, you would really appreciate the film. And finally, tell us a little bit about the University of Advancing Technology. You know, where I said Tempe, but where is it, and can prospective students visit it and see if this is the place that they want to go?
Absolutely. It's on Baseline, and I think it's at 48. Near Fry's Electronics,
okay,
out there. So it's kind of on the border of Phoenix and Tempe. And yeah, if they want to come by, actually, I would even invite them to come by on Fridays all day. We've got our production studio going on. So you've got all of these students working on, we've got about 90 students in total. So that includes the online and on ground working on 5 different games. And they can come by and see the artists and the programmers and the designers and everybody working. Every Friday. So if they want to do that, just reach out to us, and we're happy to meet them and give them a little of a tour. We've also got a green light celebration. So this is where we highlight those games a bit more formally on the 21st of August. So if you, any of you, or you know anybody else is interested in coming by and seeing the games and seeing the, what we call them, kind of pitches or demos of the games from the students, we invite you to come out and meet them.
Mm, excellent.
Absolutely. We actually have an event coming up this Friday for prospective students. We want to invite you up to that, too. And if you would like to come, that phone number is 877-UAT-GEEK. That's G-E-E-K. And we would love to have them out.
Geek. I like that. And the website is uat.edu, correct?
Yep.
Yeah.
UAT.edu.
Well, and it sounds like you have something for the artistic crowd. You've got something for the techno crowd, just kind of a combination of everything.
Well,
we offer filmmakers.
Very
and, yeah.
Our game design and programming and art students actually get together. We have a studio that's one of the largest in the valley at this point, with approximately 100 students on ground and online. And they are not just getting an education, but they're getting job experience. And at UAT, and this is unlike any other, the unique thing about UAT is that students own their own original IP. So they produce it, they ship it, they benefit. And we support that.
Oh, excellent, excellent. Well, once again, Professors Lynn Understiller and Ben Reichert, on behalf of the University of Advancing Technology. What a fascinating discussion, and I think that you two should, you know, look out for young Reinert over there.
Young Taylor Reinert.
Young Taylor Reinert. But
yes, we will do.
Well, thank you very much for joining us, and have a great rest of your weekend, and enjoy enjoy Pixels, Lynn.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you. Wow. Yeah, it's very fascinating. Very fascinating show the entire, you know, today.
Sounds like a really fun place to go to school, especially if you're into that sort of thing.
Yeah, especially creativity. Amazing. I mean, I'm creative, but I'm not good with all this technology stuff. So kudos to everyone who's able to do that. But now, you know, one of my favorite, I don't think I've ever played the game, but I knew the cartoon.
Mm.
Earthworm Jim. Ring a bell?
Oh, I love that game. I played that all the time.
Yeah?
Back in the day.
I think I might have played it once where, you know, he takes his head out of his, you know, well, I guess it's an entire body out of his suit or something, right? And I don't know.
I don't know. He had like a space gun.
Yeah, it's a worm. And then Peter Puppy.
I don't know.
Peter Puppy. No. All right.
Is that part of Earthworm Jim?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Well, it was part of the cartoon, but I don't know.
He wasn't in the game that I remember.
Well, I like the cartoon. You know what? I don't want to do anything. I just want to watch the cartoon.
Well, you know, that's what they did with Mario Brothers. They did a Super Mario Brothers.
That's true. Well, you're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment's video game show here on KPHX 1480 AM.
And Smurfs.
Oh! Yo.
Don't tell anybody.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back.